Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to be with you on the show today, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We head into a big weekend, whether you're positive like I am or the extreme negative like the other guy. No? Not you?
No, senor! No, senor! No, senor!
Well, you harness a lot of hate, I'll tell you. All right, Imports, Domestics, Microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none, is all at Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motor Studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. The complaint hotline is open. You now have the floor.
Well, we do have more Sixers because some rumors have come back out today. The first thing is, well, actually, we've checked mark no more Doc Rivers. The next check we can mark off is no more James Harden, because apparently he is going to go back to Houston and reunite with the Rockets. So, good. See ya. I'm okay with that. So we're 2 for 2 with what I want for my plan for the Sixers offseason.
Your plan?
Yes. Was to not bring back Doc, was to let James Harden walk. Now it's time to build around Maxey and Embiid. But then when it comes to Embiid, there's a new rumor out there, apparently, from a reporter from SNY, that the Knicks have been eyeing Joel Embiid for a while. Well, first of all, just the scope of that, to me, is just foolish. If the Sixers would think about, if they're going to trade Embiid at all, to trade him in the division. I mean, why would they do that? Nor should they do that. And if they are thinking of doing that, I don't care what they get back in return from him. That'll be one of the dumbest moves that will go up to one of the dumbest moves that have happened in the last couple of years with this franchise. You would trade your star player into the division, within the division, and you got to face him several times a year, maybe more in the playoffs? I mean, that's just suicide. I mean, that logic makes zero sense at all if you're going to trade Embiid. It's got to be out of the Eastern Conference at least. Trade him in the division? Come on now. I truly don't think Daryl Morey is that stupid, but if he is, well, then this will just be a new barrel of low for him.
Oh, you're done. Oh, okay, good.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
I was concerned.
Good. Hope Harden has a nice time in Houston.
He's 34. He's going to a place where people care about him. It's amazing how a lot of people want out of Philly. Have you noticed that?
I'll show him the. I'll remind him where the gate to Gate A is in Philadelphia International Airport.
in order to stay, they have to pay them tons and tons of money. I've noticed that. You've now lost Harden. You've lost a quality guy like Jonathan Gannon. I don't know what you're doing.
F-O-U-L-E-D. That spells founder.
These are your people. No?
No longer are they my people.
I'm trying to think. How many championships have you had forever? Not that many.
No, which is why I'm more than happy to show those guys the doors.
A lot of people don't want to stay there. Have you ever asked yourself why? I mean, have you ever asked yourself why?
Not really, no.
I think you should. You may come up with some answers as to why you're frustrated. All right. So last night, a 4-overtime game. Now, I made it to the end of the second overtime between Carolina and Florida. And I'm sitting there like, I had an 8 o'clock appointment this morning for car inspection. And I'm like, I got to go to bed. And so, at the end of the second overtime, I went to sleep. I'm so glad. It was one of the better decisions I could make, because it ended up going into the fourth overtime. They played two full games, plus the opening period of a third game, before Tkachuk finally won it for Florida 3-2 in the opener. Ay. Great defense. A lot of block shots. Goaltending was solid. But, wow. That was some epic last night. And yet the odd thing about it was is that a lot of times in overtime in hockey, you feel like there are all these tense, close moments. And it just felt like there were so many block shots. And it just felt like nobody could generate anything when I was watching. There was a game-winning goal that was taken off the board because of being in the blue paint. That did happen. But it's, no. That's overtime. And then last night, Jamal Murray pulled a Jason Tatum from Game 6, where Tatum, of course, in Game 6 against the Sixers, did not play well. I mean, he really did not play well until they got to the fourth quarter. And then in the fourth quarter, he had 16 points and the Celtics won. Murray did the same thing last night. First three quarters, he really couldn't hit anything. And then in the fourth quarter, I think he missed one shot and one free throw, and that was it. Everything else he hit. It was phenomenal. Brown, Calvin made a great pickup in him. Michael Porter Jr. played well again. Jokic is Jokic. And I'll be honest with you, with the Lakers, this is one of the few times I feel like you can say this about him. It's one of the few times you can say this about him. Last night I felt, for one of the few times ever, LeBron James hurt his team. He just didn't play well. Bad shot selection. Yeah, you know, I know that, and, you know, if he does anything right, they praise it. But to be honest with you, he didn't play great defense. And he just had one of those games, which everybody is entitled to, by the way. Everybody is entitled to have a game where it just doesn't fall into place. LeBron had one of those games last night. He really did not play well. So now it's Denver up 2-0. Heading back to Los Angeles. This is one of the few times that I've seen that happen where I mean, because, you know, even when he has, like, mediocre nights, he's still like, hey, you know, he's, you know, still did a bunch of good things. Last night was not one of those nights. He did not play well last night. And it happens. I mean, when you play that many games, there's going to be some nights where, like, out of nowhere, you just don't have it. He didn't have it last night. You, of course, cheered every second of it.
I actually did not see the game last night. But you're
happy with the analysis.
No, I think the analysis is fair. I'm not like... I just get nauseated sometimes by LeBron. I don't go out of my way to hate on him necessarily. But I think that's exact fair analysis.
Well, no, I mean, it's okay to say he didn't because you're just being fair because of all the time. Let's face it, all the times you sit there and say how great he is, which a lot of times he is great. Right? No getting around it. He's a great, great player. Every once in a while, like any human, you have a night where you don't have it. And he didn't have it last night. And that's okay. That happens. The next game, he may be phenomenal because he is who he is. Okay? He's proven over time what a great player he is. It just turned out it was one of those nights. And the Celtics and the Heat will play tonight. Interesting on the transfer portal trail was one that cropped up today out of nowhere. Rutgers. Cam Spencer, who had transferred from Loyola to Rutgers. Cam was a terrific shooter at Loyola, as everybody at Bucknell knows. Went to Rutgers, where it translated, and was the best shooter on that team. Now, he can... the transfer portal closed 8 days ago. Well, why did it get announced today? Simple. He's a grad. If you have your degree, you can transfer and put your name into the portal anytime you want. There is no deadline. That's why his came out today. But his name is now in the transfer portal. I was surprised by that. I was very surprised by that, that Cam Spencer's name ended up in the transfer portal. Good. I mean, he's a good shooter. And defender, he's okay as a defender. I mean, no better than that, but he's you know, okay. But as a shooter, as an offensive player, you have to know where he is. It's going to be interesting to see the kind of run he gets in this transfer portal, because I think a guy like that can shoot. He gives you that Andrew Funk feeling. He's going to get some interest from people who are looking for shooters, and everybody is looking for shooters. I was just surprised. All of a sudden, it came up today. I'm looking at my phone. I said, really? How about that?
I'm also a little curious what he wants his next move to be. Like, does he want to stay in the Power 5, in a Power 5 type environment? Does he want to go back to, like, a school in the Patriot League? You know, I'm curious what exactly he's looking for now.
I would think you'd want to stay in the Power 5.
That'd be my guess, too, but...
The reason is, I think you get to a point where, for him, what is now going to be my next move after I'm done with this move? Because the next move is going to be what positions me best to get some sort of pro career someplace. And moving down doesn't usually do that. And when I mean down, you know what I mean by down.
Exactly.
You're playing at a Power 5 school. That's why I expect him to make a Power 5 move. Now, where that happens to be, don't know.
Not that Bucknell would have been eligible anyway, because they don't have any graduate programs.
Right. But in other words, he wouldn't go to Bucknell. Like I said, he's going to go to another Power 5 school. It's just, I found it interesting. He's at one now, but I'd like to know why, you know, kind kind of seemed like Rutgers fit for him pretty well. He did a good job there. Just found it interesting. And I was surprised by it. But again, as a grad, he can put his name in because, you know, here we are 8 days later. Transfer portal for underclassmen is over with. So you're not really thinking too much about the grad guys. You pretty much feel like they've settled. Nope. Didn't settle. Now, the hottest name in the transfer portal 2 years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, was Seth Towns. Harvard, Ivy League Player of the Year. But he's had so many injuries. And I remember, it was such a big deal when he transferred to Ohio State. Huge. Now, he's a Columbus kid. But, I mean, he's had so many injuries. I mean, he has been... Here's a guy who has missed 4 of the past 5 seasons just with injuries. Well, he announced today that his final destination is going to be Howard. And Seth Towns is a talented player. The problem is he just can't keep himself on the floor. And Seth Towns is going to close out his collegiate career at Howard. And he began, I mean, this is a guy that began, you know when he began his career? 2016 at Harvard. And he was the Ivy League Player of the Year in 2018 as a sophomore. He averaged 16.6 boards a game. He hit 44% of his threes. He missed the next 2 seasons with knee injuries. He entered the transfer portal as a grad transfer. He goes to Ohio State, plays 25 games, 4 points a game. Again, same story, more injuries. So he actually has, believe it or not, 2 years of eligibility remaining because he qualifies for a medical redshirt. And he's only played 3 total seasons at Harvard and Ohio State, so he has the coronavirus exemption, and he has a medical redshirt. So he could be 28 years old when he's done. You're talking about a guy going into his 8th season of collegiate basketball. All right, we'll take a break. More next half hour. Great to have you with us today on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Brewers Outlet.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake, a service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. 3 dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online. SunburyMotors.com. And today's show, every Friday, brought to you by Brewers Outlet. Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We have Memorial Day weekend coming up next weekend. While one person will be watching three races that day, the rest of you will be out there having a good time. With occasionally checking in to see how the races are going. You want to make sure you're fully stocked at Brewers Outlet. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Rob Cooper has resigned as the head baseball coach at Penn State. He will coach tonight and tomorrow. It'll be his final of two games in the dugout for Penn State. So they'll be in search of a new baseball coach for the Nittany Lions. It has been a tough year. They are not going to make the Big Ten tournament. They made the Big Ten tournament last year, not this year. So Rob has resigned. Great story on ESPN.com, if you get a chance, by Ryan McGee. And he's always with Marty Smith, Marty and McGee. He wrote a memoir at one point about his summer as an intern with the Asheville Tourists, the minor league team in Western North Carolina. And now he's writing about the minor leagues these days because of the cutback from 162 down to 120, which we've talked about many times in this show. He says, and they were able to get Asheville $37.5 million in updates that are required by Major League Baseball. Okay. $37.5 million in updates. And this goes back to the point I made a couple of years ago when we were going through this, and we talked about Reading, for example. That Reading, for example, needed a minimum of $15 million in updates. Minimum. Now, they're also owned by the Phillies, so that makes life a little easier. You're talking about these franchises. You know, Penn State College has had 71 get to the majors, which is not bad for a franchise that started in 2006. 71 to the majors. But for the most part, when you get these guys, you get them for a year. To me, one of the underrated elements of minor league baseball is it puts affiliated baseball into currently 120 markets in the country, which is phenomenal because you're trying, it's free publicity for the game, is free publicity for the franchise that has the affiliation. There's a lot going for it that, to me, in terms of benefits, that Major League Baseball, I don't think, understands or gets. So, everybody has had to shore up. The Spikes, for example, they want to get it back into the affiliated game. So the Spikes want to get back into the affiliated game. They were affiliated with the Pirates, the Cardinals, the Cardinals, then the Pirates, and then back to the Cardinals again. They want to get back to that, and they are investing in the ballpark here at Medler Field, Lebronto Park. It has become a full-time job, McGee writes, for places like Asheville, where they scramble to find funding to meet the demands of Major League Baseball. Now, to the credit of Major League Baseball, I will say this, to their credit, they're trying to create both a better environment in the ballpark, and they're trying to create a better environment in the parts of the ballpark you don't see as a fan. In the clubhouses, the weight rooms, the batting cages, the internal pitching mounds, all that. They're trying to do all of that. And what has kept everybody on edge is that they have all of this that they're trying to do. Against the backdrop of money they needed. Now, some are able to get, when we see how much money is needed in some places, sometimes it is done through grants. And that's helped. One of the interviews he did was with Carolyn McKee. And she has box seats in Asheville. She said, quote, "We've never been naive. We knew this was headed years before it got here." She and her late husband, Ron, ran the Asheville Tours from 1980 until 2005. They sold the team to an entertainment group, who eventually then sold it to a family business. McKee's transformed the ballpark from an old-era wooden bandbox, which is, by the way, you know, the Oneonta Yankees, for example. Oneonta, old wooden ballpark. It's where John Elway played when he was part of the Yankees organization. But that franchise eventually moved to Norwich, Connecticut, because the ballpark was substandard. Batavia, substandard. And I say that with due respect to the people of Batavia. The town is beautiful. The ballpark, Dwyer Field, no. They said that they invented Thirsty Thursday, dollar beers, shirt off your back night, players handed their game-worn jerseys the fans had to the final out. You know, they counted every snow cone, every T-shirt dollar earned and lost. I mean, that's how what it was like owning a minor league team. Husband died 3 years ago. So what they did was they actually had his funeral on the infield grass at the field. See, now we hope and pray that the people who are in charge do what they have to do, but also protect the magic of minor league baseball, McKee said. And she is, by the way, a member of the South Atlantic League Hall of Fame. Ooh, Jim Brown just passed away. Ooh, talk about that in a moment. That they protect what makes these teams and towns so special when they make those decisions. Minor league baseball is magical because it is fun. When you are affiliated, for example, there is the thrill of seeing somebody rise to the major leagues. And, of course, we've had the great story of Drew Maggi this year with the Pirates, who began his career with State College. That's part of it. But going out there, the crazy mascots, the games between innings, the fact that, for the most part, it is affordable. And it's family entertainment, over and over again. That's what makes a summer night at a minor league ballpark so enjoyable, whether it's Williamsport or State College, as examples. They've had professional baseball in Asheville for 99 years. Okay? And the Pirates at one point were there. Willie Stargell played there. The Orioles played there. Oh, by the way, Cal Ripken Sr. was the manager. Some kid named Cal Jr. was the bat boy. The Astros were there, Craig Biggio. Colorado Rockies, Todd Helton. Now, the makeover almost cut Asheville off the map. And they cut 43 teams from 163 to 120. Those that remained were handed a list that were not suggestions, they were or else changes to their facilities. and they had to make the changes no matter what the cost. If you didn't, your franchise would find another city. Now, that's not what really happened. I can tell you, it's not what happened with State College. They like the facility, but there's still things they have to do to it. There are elements they have to do to it. But I think it was a numbers game with State College and the Cardinals organization. We'll see what happens moving forward because they're investing the money in the park. They had to meet the demands of the facility standards threshold by opening day 2025. And that's the key right there. Now, do a lot of the ballparks need updating? As Ryan McGee writes, absolutely, and he's correct. And most of them knew it. McCormick received a $3 million update in the 90s, but not much since. McCormick Fields where Asheville plays. Okay, those included, and you've heard me talk about this, expanding the clubhouses, designated eating areas, better weight rooms, and increased water pressure in team showers. That's what they needed. Right? Now, what have I mentioned? Clubhouse has to be a certain size. I've talked about the weight room has to be a certain size. You need to have two indoor batting cages, two indoor pitching mounds. You also now need, and it's not in here, something that else that you everybody needs now. They need a women's locker room. And the visiting team needs a kitchen. Not just the home team. But that's what minor leagues have to do. Now, the Richmond Flying Squirrels, my old friend Todd Parnell, Parney, Giants AA affiliate, they just got the green light for a new ballpark. And it's going to easily meet all the Major League Baseball demands. And they want that open by 2025. But in 2021, when Major League Baseball handed the team, here you go, this is what you need to do, they said, the heck with it. They're just going to tear it down and build a new one. One minor league general manager said about the stadium improvement demands, there needs to be a level of common sense, but there should also be a level of decency, respect for those who have tried to do it right. I agree with that. One would hope that places who have given their all to baseball for years and years and years might be shown some leniency when it comes to the timelines, especially when we're negotiating with government agencies, which always takes forever. But none of that appears to mean a thing. See, that's the issue right there. And I agree with this general manager. Show some common sense. Understand the roots of the game and what it means. Instead of, here it is, got to do it, got to do this timeline, you're done. Like, look, just don't sit in New York and demand things. Get your hands dirty. Go out and tour these places. Take a look at it. Understand who you're dealing with. Now, they will tell you, on the Major League Baseball level, Morgan Sword is the man in charge of pushing this forward, said 92 teams are ahead of schedule to be in compliance by opening day 2024. He says, we've never been more excited about the minor leagues. Attendance is up, revenue's up, game in the field is the best we've seen it since we began substantial restructuring of baseball's player development system 3 years ago. We have made significant improvements every single year. We believe that the minor league ballpark is one of the most exciting options for families to spend their time together and experience professional baseball up close. It is a marketing gem for you. Okay, that's what it is. It is a marketing gem, Morgan. Just so you know. New ballparks are under construction in Hillsboro, Oregon, Salt Lake City, Knoxville, Chattanooga, and Richmond. They're also planned for Carolina, okay? Kinston, places like that. That's the story, the minor leagues. I mean, it's an important part of this state. Minor league baseball is an important part of this state. Reading, Harrisburg, Erie, Altoona, Williamsport, State College, Lehigh Valley, Scranton-Wilkes-Barre. They're a very important part of the state. moving forward. We'll see if Williamsport and State College can climb their way back in. All right, we'll take a break. The legendary Jim Brown. Greatest football player I've seen play. Has passed away at the age of 87. We'll talk about him in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The legendary Jim Brown passed away at the age of 87. Passed away peacefully in the middle of the night. Here's a guy that played 118 NFL games. Now, you know, you're talking about different times, okay? Running the football meant everything. But he rushed for over 1,000 yards in 7 of the 9 seasons he played. He averaged 104 yards rushing per game. He's the only player in the history of the NFL to average over 100 yards rushing per game for his career. He scored 106 touchdowns. 12,312 yards, and he retired at the age of 30. And some will argue he's the greatest lacrosse player in the history of collegiate lacrosse. In fact, they have a rule that you can't pin the ball with your stick against your chest. That's because he did it and nobody could stop him. Oh, by the way, the 2 seasons, he did not gain over 1,000 yards. He gained 942 and 996. He averaged 5.2 yards a carry for his career. He also tacked on another 2,500 yards and 20 touchdowns receiving. So you're talking about 126 touchdowns. And when we're talking about racking up rushing yards, I mean, he rushed over 100 yards, 58 out of 118 games. Phenomenal, right? But this guy played 12 games a season, his first 4 seasons, and then 14 games a season, his last 5. He never missed a game. No 2 NBA players. Jim Brown never missed a game. And was a and played in they won the NFL title in 1964. The one championship they won gained 114 yards in that game against the Colts. They won 27-0. In the 57 title game. They lost to Detroit. 58 playoff game with the Giants. They lost that game. And then played Green Bay in 65 up in Green Bay, and the Packers won that. But they won the title in 64. Actor, activist. 2002 ranked greatest NFL player ever. Rated greatest college player ever, 2020. I mean, it's, you know, on and on you go. The 5.2 yards a carry for his career? Really? Jeez. Great at Syracuse. Great in the NFL. The filming of the Dirty Dozen ran over. Art Modell said, hey, you're late for camp. You're going to get fined and suspended and the whole deal. So Brown said, okay, I quit. I retired. Great move, Art. Watched them on TV when I was a kid. You felt like he was unstoppable, and every team was geared to stop him. 87 years old.